before I start, I just want to say how blessed I've been to just be more part of the church, playing in the praise and worship band, and being more part of the youth, because after just not being involved in a church for a while, it kind of brings you down. So it's good to be lifted up again and kind of a more encouragement for the other youth. Now that I said that, please don't kick me out by saying stop praying. All right. The lesson, or the title of tonight, it's stop praying. Okay, it might not be what you think I'm trying to say. You know, before I get more into that, let's talk a little bit about the word routine. Okay, what is a routine? Or more importantly, what is the definition of a routine? Okay, I found the definition is a prescribed, detailed course of action to be followed regularly or a standard procedure. As a teacher, I like routine. It's what makes the day go by smooth. And in my classroom, routine is a key factor to start out the day right, or else everything falls out of place. My key routine in my classroom happens the first 5 minutes of class. The students have been programmed, that's a key word, they have been programmed to walk in quietly, take out their homework, and look at the board and start working on math problems from the previous day. For me, routine is very important. But for a follower of Christ, routines can destroy us. Christians should not follow everyday routines, because then we become complacent in our everyday walk with God. God doesn't want every day to be the same, because then we get very comfortable, and that's when we don't want to go that extra mile for our faith and for what we believe in. Okay, so that's a little bit about routine. So, okay. So, like I said, my title is Stop Praying. What if I told you to stop praying? You'd probably call me crazy, because growing up in church, that's all we've been told to is pray. Maybe even call me an ungodly person, but listen to what I have to say about it. All I'm saying is to stop praying in our routinely method and just think about God. Think about who you're praying to, or more specifically, who you're actually talking to. Because when we imagine what God really is, if you imagine that you're in the grace of God, you're not going to pray to Him like you've done in the past, how you've been routinely programmed to pray. We are praying to an almighty God who created the earth we live on. We are praying to a God who created the other planets in our solar system. We are praying to the God who created the galaxy we live on, and we are praying to the God who created more than 350 trillion other galaxies around us. So just imagine that we're on Earth here. And I don't know how many people are on Earth, but there's other planets, other galaxies, other million, billion, trillion galaxies around us. Why would God do that? Well, sometimes I have thought to myself, as too good to talk to God sometimes. There's been some times where I've said to myself, I don't need to pray to God. I have all that I need. I'm in control of myself. Now then I start to think, now why would God create so much and make us feel so minuscule, so small by the things around us? When I sit there and think about all the other solar systems or all everything else around us and how small we really are, I ask myself, who do I think I am to question a God who is so grand? And R.C. Sproul sums it up with this quote. Men are never duly touched or impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. So before I go into why we should stop praying and think of who we're actually talking about, I want to talk about five characteristics or five things that describe God, and that will change how you pray to him. Okay? God's defining attributes. Number one, God is holy. Okay? God is holy. In Exodus 3:14, I have it up here. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Okay, to say that God is holy is to say that he is set apart, distinct from us. We're not in the same league as God. And because of his set apartness, there is no way we can ever fathom all of who he is. To the Jews, saying holy, holy, holy is to say that he is perfectly set apart. And that that is what it means to be holy. Okay? The Jews saying something three times demonstrated perfection. The second, God is eternal. So first, God is holy. You got to imagine that God is holy. You got to know that God is holy. Second of all, God is eternal. And Psalm 102, 27 says, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. Not being able to fully understand God is very frustrating. But it is ridiculous for us to think that we have the right to limit God to something we are capable of comprehending. Okay, just think about that for a second. Me as a math teacher, I find it very frustrating to not be able to solve a problem. You know, and I can just imagine other people, they just give up on God because they can't fully comprehend him. But what makes you think that you can comprehend something that made the earth, made everything around us? You can't question that. And what a stunted, insignificant God that would be. And a little example, if my mind is the size of a soda can and God is the size of all the oceans, it would be stupid for me to say he is only the small amount of water I can scoop up into my little can. Okay, I can't hold God in my hand. If he's the ocean around me, he's not just that little cup of water. God is so much bigger, so far beyond our time encased air, food, sleep, meaning our dependent lives. So, number one, God is holy. Number two, God is eternal. Number three, God is all-knowing. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So God knows everything around us. Each of us, to some degree, has probably fooled your friends or your family about who you really are or what you really do. But it's impossible to do that with God. I know it's been said your whole life, but it's so true. He knows each of us deeply and specifically. He knows our thoughts before we think them, or our actions before we commit them, whether we are lying down, sitting, or walking around. He knows who we are and what we are about. We cannot escape him, not even if we want to. Bottom line is God knows your every step. And if you think about that, when you're talking to God, when you're praying to God, if he knows you that on that, on an intimate level, don't you think you'd pray to him a little bit differently? Yeah, there's two more to go. All right. So wrapping up a little bit. God is holy. God is eternal. And God is all-knowing. Number four. God is all-powerful. Okay. That's something we need to know when we're talking to God. Daniel 4:35 says, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Just two questions, not too much to say about this because, I mean, God is all-powerful. You can't really put words to that. But just two questions to think about. Can you worship a God who isn't obligated to explain his actions to you? Or could it be your arrogance that makes you think God owes you an explanation? Who are we to question the Creator? Who are we to question anything that he does? And number four, or five, sorry. God is fair and just. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." Okay, when you think of fair and just, I mean, I always think of a judge. And that's how God has been portrayed throughout the Bible, as a judge. One definition of justice is reward and or penalty as deserved. If what we truly deserved were up to us, we would end up with as many different answers as people who responded. There would be no balance, up, down, everywhere. But it isn't up to us, mostly because none of us are as good as God. God is the only being who is good, and the standards are set by him. And one more thing to say about him being fair and just. Because God hates sin, he has to punish those guilty of sin. Maybe that's not an appealing standard, but to put it bluntly, if you owned your own universe, you could make your own standards too. So when we disagree, let's not assume it's his reasoning that needs correction. God is fair and just. So now when I said we need to stop praying, we can start praying now. And next time, or this week, a challenge to the youth is just think about who you're really talking to. Think about the five different attributes of God. God is holy. God is eternal. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. And God is fair and just. So just think to who you're talking about. And then actually start praying for real. And to sum it up, when we stop praying, we are recognizing God's eternal majesty. We are acknowledging God's unquestionable worthiness. And we are understanding our own insignificance. I actually had a video, but it took too long, and so it's almost a 10-minute video that really sums up what I really have to say. But a lot of our youth already saw that video, so I think it's okay to leave it for another time. So next time, what I said today, I'll recap again. But bottom line is, next time you start praying, stop for a second. Think about who you're actually talking to. Think about whose presence you're in. And then you'll really start praying for real. Amen.